Prayer and Fasting Week starting today. I want to ask what on earth Pastor Darrell's doing on stage with an apple. Only time he brings food to stage is when we're having a Prayer and Fasting Week. We're starting fasting today through till next Sunday. So we break it next Sunday. What we're asking you to do is we're asking you to fast in an intentional way. Asking you to go to the deep end of the pool. Fasting traditionally is fasting food. And doing your best. I understand some people can't because of lifestyle needs, but I'm asking everybody else to make a big effort to fast and pray this week for our season as a church. Particularly next weekend, we gather to honour the Lord and build the house, and we're giving our vision legacy offering next Sunday. While I'm talking about that, let me highlight these few cards for you. Firstly, we've got a card and we have an envelope this year that are in front of you on the seat in front of you if you would like one of these to take home. A card and an envelope. Firstly, the promise card is if you're going to promise a gift over a period of time, like a 12-month period, which is what some people do in the life of our church. And so if you want to promise a certain amount every month or every week and how you're going to give it, all those details can be checked there just by ticking the box, putting your name and letting us know how you're going to give that offering, whether it's going to be online or whatever. So that's for you on that one. Then there's an envelope for those that are bringing a cash offering on the day or want to use a credit card gift offering on the day. You can use the envelope in terms of that. For all your online giving, can I ask that you do this when you put it through? Put legacy and also your name in terms of the gift that you give when you give that gift. There is on both the card and the envelope a little miracle card, and that card is for things that you are believing God for. We want to stand with you. We want to pray with you. We want to believe with you for what you're believing God to do throughout the year in this next season of church life. And so that's happening next Sunday. If you could be with us, that would be greatly appreciated. Wednesday night of this week, in the middle of our prayer and fasting, we're having a special praise and prayer night here at church. Now, normally it's a PPP. This one's just a PP. Normally with the prayer, praise, and pizza night, we get a big crowd of people to come out and pray on that night, and I'm hoping it's not too much to do with the pizza. So this year we've dropped one P, we've dropped the pizza, and we've just made it prayer and praise. And so that will be on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. We'd love to have you here just to pray on that night. And particularly, I mean, you're not at home eating food anyway. You may as well be here praying and working with us and leaning into God at that time on Wednesday night, 7:30 to 8:30. By the way, that is the gathering for all of our Connect groups this week. All of our Connect group leaders, all of our Connect groups, if you're involved in what we do in small groups during the week, they're gathering on Wednesday night here at church for that prayer and praise night for 1 hour. The only other thing I want to point you in terms of being aware of is our starting point class, which is a starting point dinner for new people in church world and church life. If you're new, over the last number of months, we put on a dinner for you on a Sunday evening, and that will be on Sunday, November the 10th at 6 p.m. here in our cafe area. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that. And if you're planning on coming, if you could let the people know at the Next Steps area or at the welcome desk in the foyer, that would be wonderful. Would you turn in your Bibles, please? I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. I want to take the opportunity to speak today and next week on this topic. What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? You can put an inclination on that statement any way you like. You can ask it as an inquiring question as to what you're believing God for, and in terms of what are you believing God to do in your world and in your life, in your family, in your business, in your health. Well, what are you believing God for? Or you can ask it in an interrogating sense of what are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? Like, why believe in God? And I think every one of us has to have a very strong conviction as to why it is that we believe in God, and then also the things that we are believing God for. We believe in God because the Bible instructs us to place our trust and our hope and our confidence in Him. That's why we believe in God. We believe in God because the Bible teaches us that God does not withhold any good thing from those that do what is right and walk uprightly, that God's a giver of good things. We believe in God because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. We believe in God because the Bible says that God is not a withholder, but God is a releaser of goodness to our lives. We believe in God because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. We believe in God because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so there's a responsibility not just for us to believe, but also for us to ask. Here's our foundation thought and our foundation text, which, as Daryl said, is from the Bible. And it's Isaiah 54 verse 2. I've emphasized several key words for us today. First one is enlarge. Everyone say enlarge. Enlarge. It says enlarge the place. By the way, this text in its context is written to Jerusalem. It's written to the children of Israel. It's written to them as a futuristic promise of what God would do in their life. In verse 1, it talks about a barren woman who cannot give birth. And the Bible says to her, rejoice, because you're going to have children. And not only are you going to have children, you're going to have many, many children. Congratulations, by the way, to Dayton and to Katie, who have announced the expectation of their first baby. Give them a big hand. Dayton not here today, but Katie is. So it's a promise given to a struggling nation being birthed as the people of God. And it's a promise that God would bring great increase to the world. And it says, enlarge. Everyone say enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch. Would you say stretch? Stretch your tent curtains wide. And then it says, do not hold back. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. It says, do not hold back. Lengthen. Would you say lengthen? Lengthen. Come on, participate with me. Lengthen. Lengthen your cords and strengthen. Say strengthen. Strengthen. Thank you. Strengthen your stakes. Let me read it again because we bounced all over the place because you're a bit slow with that. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I love the description these phrases bring, and the hope and the view, the vision and the picture that it brings for the nation of Israel as the children of God, but not only for them, for us today, as it tells us to do this. It says, don't hold back, don't hold back, don't hesitate, don't shrink back, don't pull back, don't ignore it, don't spare any expense, expend all of your energy, give everything you have towards what you are doing, go all in. You know, to have a full heart for God's house and for the vision of God's house is to do exactly what we've just finished preaching about. That is to have a blessed life. That's a blessed life. A blessed life is to have a full heart towards the house of God and to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul and your strength, as we looked at last week. It's to have a heart that is engaged, a heart that is contributing, a heart that is connecting, a heart that is investing its life to build what God is building His church. A heart that doesn't hold anything back, a heart that's seeking to enlarge, a heart that's seeking to stretch, a heart that's thinking to lengthen and also seeking to strengthen. Now, next Sunday, we're going to gather as a church and we're going to honor and expand God's house by the giving and the gifts that we do together as individuals and as families. We do it every year. We do it once a year for this special offering. It's always a Sunday that's exciting. It's always a Sunday that is a Sunday that expresses what this verse expresses. God, that we want to enlarge. We want to stretch. We want to lengthen, we want to strengthen, and we're going to do that regardless of circumstance and regardless of situation. This verse and this promise was written to a people who could not expand, who weren't seeing God's hand developing on their life, and God comes along and says, come on, get ready,
Get ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready to enlarge. Get ready to stretch. Get ready to lengthen. Get ready to strengthen as we bring our very best offering to the Lord on Legacy Offering and Giving Day. Now, here's my thought for today. Do you know that Offering Day is more about us than anything else? It's about actually what God wants to do in our world and in our lives and in our hearts and in our families, individually and also corporately. And so as we gather to give to expand the house of God, I want you to know that God is also gathering to give and expand towards us. To give and expand towards us in planning to bless us. And my prayer is that God would continue to favor, God would continue to bless, and God would continue to increase all of our lives. And so I'm asking you the question today, what are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? Are you praying for a lost loved one? That's a good thing to believe God for. Are you praying for a wayward son, a wayward daughter, a wayward father, a wayward mother? Are you praying for a family member that needs to come closer to the heart of God? Come on, is that your prayer? If that's your prayer, that's a good prayer. That's a good thing to believe God for. Are you praying for health and healing? That's a good thing to believe God for. By the way, we're going to pray for Brian Thor right now. Brian's a good friend of our church. He's a long time partner of our church. Been here for many, many years. He's part of the furniture. For those of you that don't know Brian, Brian's on a wheelie. He quite often sits in the foyer. And Brian is in some real special need right now, and we need to pray for his health and life. Brian has been diagnosed with end-stage liver cancer, and he's currently in the QE2 hospital. I'm going up straight after the service to be with him. His life expectancy is minimal, and he'll be returned to the home that he lives in Kingston Park, the retirement village there, where they will care for him in the last stages of his life. So why don't we pray for Brian? He's part of our family, so let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you for Brian. We love him. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's been here for a long, long time. He's part of the furniture. And Father, we pray for him today with this very bad news, this bad report that he's got about health and his life expectancy. And we're praying, Holy Spirit, you'd be with him, you'd surround him, you would comfort him, you'd bring peace to him. Father, for us as a family, that we could do everything to care for him, to spiritually care for him and look after him in this late stages of his life, Father. We pray for those that look after his health, for them to make him as comfortable as they possibly can, Father. Lord, Brian is looking forward to going home and being with you, Jesus, and being united with you. And that's a good hope to have and a great hope to have. But we want to just committing to you in prayer today and pray, be with him, Holy Spirit, may he know your presence in Jesus' name. It's a good thing to believe and pray for healing and health and life for your loved ones and for people around your world and for yourself. It's a good thing to believe for your business and for your job and for your career. Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you need a new career. Maybe you're finishing your tertiary education and you're looking for what your advancement might be. Believe God for that. Ask God for that. Just don't go with the flow of what presents itself. Ask God for what you want. What are you believing God for? Maybe you're believing for Mr. or Mrs. Wright to walk into your life and make you go, wow, 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 wow. Believe God for that. You know, the best place to find your partner is in the house of God. Not in the club, not in the pub, but in the house of God. You don't want the pub partner. You don't want the club partner. You want the house of God partner is what you want. Believe for Mr. or Mrs. Wright to walk into your life. Isn't that right, Timothy? Believe for that. Believe for that. That's a good thing. Tell God what you want. Are you praying for a house? Believe God for a house. It's a good thing to buy a house. It's a good thing to get a stake in the ground. It's a good thing to advance your world in that way. What are you believing God for? Are you believing God for a personal financial breakthrough? Get some money sense. Develop some sense and some wisdom around that. Increase your opportunities. But ask God and believe God to increase, because that's a good thing to believe God for. So what are you believing God for? Here's the big thought with this. God does want our first and our best in terms of how we give and our offerings, and that's what the scriptures teach in regards to tithing, that is the best part and the first part that we give to God. So God wants our first and our best, but here's the principle. God never wants something from us without giving something to us. He never wants something from us without giving something to us. In other words, his intention is always to give towards us, not to remove from us, but always to give towards us. Now, people have many different ideologies and views and thoughts and apparent wisdoms when it comes to how they view these matters in relation to the scriptures and from God. But let me tell you this, Jesus, the Son of God, who is the Word of God himself, he said this. This is what he said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He said, give and you will receive. Give and you will received, and your gifts will return to you in full measure, pressed down. I like that thought that God says your gift will actually return to you. Your gift will return to you. In other words, God re-gifts your gift. You ever re-gifted a gift? God re-gifts. He's a re-gifter. We give our gift, but God here, the word Jesus, is telling us, given you receive, your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over into your lap. It will come. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. I want you to notice Jesus didn't say give because you're supposed to. He didn't say give because you're supposed to. He said give and you will receive. Give and you will receive. Some people have an issue with this. And some people have an issue with this. And we've got to deal with the issues we have with both of these and just obey what God tells us. Given you will receive and your gift will return to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together. The amount you give will determine the amount that you will receive. In another place, Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many of you love that verse? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want you to note he didn't stop there because the promise and the thought doesn't stop there. He kept going. That wasn't the conclusion of the verse. The verse actually concludes with this, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. What are these things? What are these things? If you read it in the context, if you read it in the verses that surround it, it's all the things that you need, everything that you need. All the things that you need, everything that you need. All and everything. Turn to your neighbor and say, all and everything. All and everything. All and everything that you need, God will add them to you. If you pursue the kingdom of God as your priority above everything else, if you live for the kingdom and put the pursuit of the kingdom and the king and his righteousness above everything else, God says, all and everything I will give unto you as you need it. So God tells us, put me first. Put me first, but the truth and the principle is he doesn't forget us. It's not just about him being first, it's also about him caring for us. It's about him blessing us and favoring us. So God never leaves us without what we need. He never leaves us without what we need. He wants to bless our life and he wants to bless our future. Do you know, the teaching of the tithe in the Bible is exactly the same kind of thought, where the Bible tells us this. It says that we are to bring into the storehouse everything that God has blessed us with, a tithe, a portion of everything that God has blessed us with. And as we do that, that God says, I will then open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out all the blessings that you need. So as we bring, he blesses. As we bring, he blesses. That's what's going to take place next Sunday when we come. We're going to bring and God is going to bless. That's the promise of God's word for every one of us. So if you're in a space today, like some people get them in this space, themselves in this space from time to time, where they think like God's a taker. God's not actually a taker. He's a giver. He's a giver. He's a releaser of everything that we need. So if you've lived with the thought of, I've got to protect everything I have because God wants everything I have, then, well, the thought is right. God does want everything you have. He wants all of you. But he doesn't want everything you have for the sake of having everything you have. He wants everything you have so that he has all of you, so that he can give all of himself towards you. So the gift will be returned unto you. God is not a taker. God is very intentionally a giver. He's a generous God. He doesn't withhold anything, the Bible says, from those that walk uprightly and do the right thing. So yes, God does call us to give. He does command us to give, but he is a God that never wants to receive something without getting something to us. And so, D.L. Moody, who's heard that name? D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever seen in the 1800s. He was an American evangelist, has gone on and done a lot of amazing things for the church and for the kingdom of God. This is what he says about asking God to do big things for us, because God is never offended.
He's never offended, listen to this, he's never offended when we ask him to do big things. He's never offended when we ask him to do big things. D.L. Moody said, God is not bothered by our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all. Because you know what that says? When we don't come at all, it says, well, I'm a self-made man. God help you if you are. I'm a self-made man. I'm my own source. I'm my own resource. I live on my own strength and I can do it all myself. God's not bothered by our constant coming, our constant asking, and our constant appealing. In actual fact, God is bothered when we say, I've got it, I can handle it, I'll do it my own way, I've got all the strength and resource that I need. If that's us, we're not believing God for enough. We're not believing God for enough if we can do it and achieve it all ourselves. We need to have a big ask. Turn to your neighbor and say, have a big ask. Have a big ask. We need to have a big ask. God is not, he's not troubled by us having a big ask of him. God is troubled when we trust in ourselves, when we dumb it down to our level of understanding and appreciation. God wants to have a big, us to have a big ask and a big request for what he would have us do and he do on our behalf. God is actually troubled by our lack of ask. He's troubled by our lack of ask. Because if you're not asking, you're not believing. If you're not asking, you're not believing to enlarge, you're not believing to strengthen, you're not believing to lengthen, you're not believing to stretch. In actual fact, if you're not asking, you're not actually believing. Yeah. It's all in the power of the ask. And so faith demands that we have a big ask. We preached recently on Jabez and his prayer in the Old Testament, where Jabez, he had a big ask. And the Bible says in the verses that mention Jabez's name, it mentions this. It says Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. Why? Because he had a big ask. He asked God for big things. And that's why the Bible says he was more honorable and more faithful. His prayer was, God, enlarge me. Bless me. God, I want more. Would you increase me? Would you place your hand on me? Would you keep me from evil? Would you keep me from pain? And the Bible says God didn't reject Jabez, but he answered his prayer and God granted him his request. In Mark 11:22, Jesus said this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Can I ask you to do this week, do this week in terms of your fasting and your praying, is place a little faith in God. Just place a little faith in God. Have some faith in God for what you're believing God for. Jesus goes on to say, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Here, Jesus is saying, you can have faith to pray for things to turn around, and for things to change, and for circumstances to be lifted, and for clouds to be lifted. And then he goes on and says this, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, you know, you can't be silent in prayer. It doesn't exist. The silent prayer does not exist. You can't be silent. It demands an ask. Faith is not silent. Faith demands a verbalization of what the desires that we're believing God for in our lives individually and also corporately. So Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received. In other words, come with a posture of faith and reception. Believe that you've received it and it will be yours. It'll be yours. In the New King James Version, it says, whatever things you desire. Whatever things you desire. Do you know God puts good, healthy, godsome... Is that a word? Godsome? Godsome? It is now. Good, healthy, God-designed desires in our heart. God plants them in our heart. Desires to do good things aligned with his plan and with his purpose. And God places those desires in our heart. And the desire to enlarge, the desire to stretch, the desire to lengthen, the desire to strengthen is a God desire that's placed in the hearts of his church. The church here is not here to hold the fort right throughout the world. We're not here just holding the fort until Jesus comes back. We're here to build the church of God and partner with Jesus in what we're doing and in how we're building. So believe and trust in God for your desires to be answered. I want you to lock onto that thought this week. What do you desire? What are you praying for? What are you believing God for? Believe that God can do it. And here's the thought, that God can do the miraculous.
In other words, God can do what you can't do. Anyone in the room got something that you can't do? Yeah. Come on, lift up your hand. You got something you can't do that you need God to do? I got a lot of things I need God to do. A lot of things I need God to do. So I have a big ask of God. I have a big ask and a big request and a big complaint to stretch and to enlarge and to lengthen and to strengthen. And so we need to learn to pray big, bold prayers. Pray, don't say grace when you pray. You know the way we say grace? Oh, Father, bless this food. Bless the hands that prepared it. That prayer. Well, I'm not talking about praying that prayer. That prayer is nice if you're hungry and you just want to get to the food. But when you want to pray big, bold prayers, have a big ask with God and bring your desires and lay it at His feet. So pray big prayers, pray growth prayers, pray prayers to enlarge, pray prayers to stretch, pray prayers to lengthen, pray prayers to strengthen, pray prayers to increase, pray prayers to be blessed and to be a blessing. We should never stop praying those kinds of prayers. They are expansion prayers. They are increase prayers. They are desperation prayers. They are God designed and desire prayers. And so we need to think, we need to dream, and we need to pray big for God's house. When was the last time you prayed for your church? When was the last time you prayed for your pastors? When was the last time you did that? Can I ask you to pray for your church? Can I ask you to pray for your pastors? Can I ask you to do that? Because I tell you why, not many people do. That's why. And we need to. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for them to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Pray for the house of God, our community together, our friendship and our fellowship together. Pray for it to be enlarged. Pray for it to be strengthened. Pray for it to be developed. Pray for God to do good things. So think, dream, and pray big for God's house. I believe that believing is what we are called to do. Believing is what we are called to do. And every now and then we've got to send ourselves an email to remind ourselves of that. I'm called to be a believer. That's why I'm called a believer. I'm called to be a believer. That's why I am a believer. So believing is what we are called to do. So we are actually called to enlarge. We are called to have those growth pains. We are called to have that happening where we are stretching, where we are lengthening, and we are strengthening the influence of the house of God. So here's my appeal. Don't hold back. Don't hold back in what you do and who you are. Be light. Be shining like a star. Be light to your world. We're called to believe in God for the miraculous because we have challenges that we need God to work through. We're called to pray and believe and pray big, bold prayers, to think big, pray big, and live big. And the truth is, you're never going to pray big unless you think big. Yeah. You're never going to pray big unless you think big. Unless there's some desire motivating, unless there's a why, there's never going to be a big prayer. So let's pray big prayers. So next week we're going to gather. Next week we're going to honor. We're going to honor God. We're going to honor His house. And we're going to think big, act big, behave big towards God and towards His house. We're going to bring our best gift. And I want to encourage you to take some time to pray, to fast before you participate. If you're not a tither, if you don't currently tithe in our church and you haven't stepped over the line of that act for you, can I suggest to you that that would be a good place to start? This offering that we're giving next week, it's not our tithes. It's above and beyond our giving that we give on a regular basis, so well above and beyond our normal tithes. For Cheryl and I, for our family, what we do is we bring a gift on the day and then we promise a gift over the year. So we do a combination because sometimes you just don't have that money sitting in the bank that you want to give. And we ask our church to consider this. If this offering is based on a first fruits offering in the Old Testament, where the thought is that it might be today, that it might represent something. Like, if I was Shane Willard, I'd stand here and explain it in Shane Willard's terms on first fruits, which is amazing when he does it, and the percentages of how they've worked it all out, and theologians and whatever. But my simple way of explaining it is like this. First fruits for a modern day Christian would be something like the presentation of a full week's salary to the Lord. It'd be something representative of that. Now, we go well beyond that in terms of our family because of
our posture and position in the house of God. You've just got to work out what you do and how you respond to the heart of God. Can I also say this? Your gift does not buy you a miracle. Not at all. It's not a passport to a miracle. We put that on here so that you know we're going to pray with you and we're going to believe with you. My thought for today and my thought for next week is we've got to be believing. We've got to be believing for something. So let's be believing together. Let's not be silent about what we believe and what we desire and what we hope for God to do. And so if you are not a tither, can I suggest to you that next week would be a great time for you to start? Next week would be a great time just for you to start that. Because if you're not a tither, you're probably not going to jump up to that big gift level. You need to start somewhere, and that's where we start, is start in honouring God with the first part, the best part, 10% of everything that He has blessed us with. My thought with giving is has always been this. It's taken from David's life, the king of Israel, at a time when God told him to build an altar and make a sacrifice. And God told him very particularly where to go, to a man's place called Araunah. And he went to Araunah's house in 2 Samuel 24:24. And he said to Araunah, I've come to build an altar to the Lord and to sacrifice to the Lord. And Araunah, being a good man, said, here, just take my altar. And David said, no, I can't take it. I've got to buy it because I refuse to give an offering to the Lord that does not cost me. That does not cost me. I've got to be honest with you as a pastor of our church that this time of year is always a challenging time. It's a challenging time because of we lead the way in terms of this. And just like you, we all feel the sacrifice of this. But if I don't feel it, I can't lead it. And if I don't feel it, it's not costing me anything. It's not costing me anything. So I want to feel it. I've got to run on the feeling of God. I want to feel my sacrifice as I bring my sacrifice to the house of God, and that connects with the heart of God. So a little bit like David, I want to be able to say, if it doesn't cost me anything, then I'm not going to give it. I'm not just tipping here. I'm not tipping you, God. I'm not just giving you something that's out of my convenience. This is actually inconvenient for me to give. Have you ever given in an inconvenient way? It's not convenient, God. It's nothing convenient. That's what sacrifice is. It's not a matter of being convenient. It's a matter of it being something that we feel and we're moved by. And so that means that we've got to do this. We've got to not allow the negativity of circumstances, personal or whatever, that are around our world to determine how we respond. As Ecclesiastes says, we don't wait for perfect weather before we do this thing. We do it because we run on a different fuel. We run on a fuel of faith. We run on a fuel of faith, and so we believe God, that God will help us, God will guide us, God will speak to us, and God will lead us. So we're asking God to make a way. Would you stand to your feet with me? We're asking God to make a way. I want to play a song for us today as we conclude our service this morning, just for us to lean in, and it's a new song for us, so we don't know it, so our team can't present it to us yet, but we're going to play it for you today and for next week, because it just so perfectly says what we want to lean into as we come before the Lord with our offerings and our gifts and our lives, and bring our desires and our dreams and our prayers before Him, that we are believing God to do big things. When you bring your gift next week, fill out your miracle card of the things that you're believing for. Write some things down and be confident of this. God's not afraid of the ask. He's actually troubled when you don't. He's troubled when you don't ask Him to do things. Would you close your eyes? And I want you to lean into this song. This song is called Waymaker. That's who God is. God, you're here. Worship you. Worship you. I worship you. Father, we come to you today as our way maker, as our miracle worker. That is who you are. That is who you are. And even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. And so, God, I pray this week as we lean into your heart in a more intentional way, as we fast, as we pray and press into the heart of God, our prayer is that we would expand. Our prayer is that you would strengthen. Our prayer is that as we stretch, that things would be lengthened, God, that your hand would be upon us corporately and also individually, God. As we prepare to honor you, to honor your word, and to honor your house, God, as we prepare to do that, we want to be filled with the knowledge and the confidence and the trust that you are preparing to move in our worlds and in our lives, in our homes, in our families, Father, the hand of God moving for what we are believing God for. You said we have not because we ask not, and so we increase the level of our ask and our dependence on you. I pray, God, speak to us. Speak to us as we speak to you. As we bring that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing so much so that it could not and would not be contained. And so I pray, Father, that as we prepare this week, that you would do what only you can do as the miracle worker in our lives, God. Help us not to be limited, contained, or restrained by emotion, feeling, situation, circumstances, perceived limitations that are around our world at this time, but to have a spirit of faith, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you very much for being with us today. If you're a new person, I want to invite you to our Connect Lounge, which is open now. Meet some of our leaders, some coffee and some food down there in the foyer. Our hospitality area, our cafe is open now. Have a great week. Don't forget Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. for 1 hour here for our prayer and praise night. See you then. God bless. Thank you.